Okay, is Johnson against Pollard.
If it pleases the court, Mr. O'Brien, Attorney Jeffrey Jensen appears on behalf of the appellant and petitioner in this habeas prisoner's habeas corpus case, Jimmy Johnson. In September of 2000, there were a lot of people milling around outside of a bar in Milwaukee when shots were fired and two people were killed. Several other people were injured, and the Milwaukee police began investigating this incident. Their investigation led them to Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Johnson was taken into custody on a warrant unrelated to this incident. But while he was in custody, he was subject to, I believe, six police interrogations, including a polygraph examination. In the first four interrogations, Mr. Johnson absolutely denied that he had anything to do with this incident. In fact, he went so far as to offer to submit to a polygraph test in order to vindicate himself, and the police took him up on that offer. He submitted to a polygraph examination where he again denied that he was the shooter in this case. The following day, though, the police detectives wanted to talk to Mr. Johnson again. And at the outset of this interrogation, one of the police detectives said to him something to the effect, "You were so sure that you were going to pass this polygraph test, weren't you, Mr. Johnson? And by the fact that you're still here, it's pretty obvious that you didn't pass the polygraph test." That comment, by the detective's own admission and his own testimony at the suppression hearing, was not true. I guess it would be fair to say it was a lie, because the detective never talked to the polygraph examiner. The polygraph examiner never conveyed that information to the detective. And as that interrogation continued, Mr. Johnson eventually gave a statement implicating himself as the shooter. And so he was charged with two counts of homicide, three counts of recklessly endangering safety, and a felon in possession of a firearm. His trial lawyer immediately filed a motion to suppress the statement, and this motion alleged that the statement was not freely and voluntarily given. It was a coerced statement. The state prosecutor, examined the detectives as though that were the issue, whether or not Mr. Johnson's statement was coerced or not, and the court made a ruling along those lines. The state raises an issue in its brief that the federal Fifth Amendment voluntariness issue was not exhausted before the state courts. And as I prepared in detail for my oral argument, I realized that it would have been a better practice to file a reply brief, because what I would have said is, I do concede that in the state appellate courts that issue was not artfully argued. But I don't think the question is whether it was artfully argued. The question is whether it was fairly presented. And I think the answer is yes, because the brief that Mr. Johnson's appellate lawyer presented, who was actually the same person as the trial lawyer, had as his subheading, and this is in Appendix 101 of the state's brief, "Mr. Johnson's confession was coerced in violation of the Fifth Amendment." And it goes on. Inexplicably, though, that lawyer then goes on to say, to argue that the statement should have been suppressed because it was not sufficiently distinct from the polygraph examination, which is actually a matter purely of state law. Wisconsin has a policy that polygraph examinations are not admissible in evidence because the state's made a policy determination that it's just simply not reliable evidence. There is case law on that point that holds that any statements made during the course of a polygraph examination are also not admissible. That was the argument his appellate lawyer made despite having that subheading in his brief. And that was how the Court of Appeals reacted to Johnson's argument. His conviction was affirmed. So now Mr. Johnson is proceeding pro se, and I think he sensed that his Fifth Amendment voluntariness issue was not adequately presented the first time around by his appeals lawyer. So he files a pro se petition under a Wisconsin statute 974.06, which is very similar to the federal habeas corpus statute. It allows a prisoner to raise constitutional issues that weren't raised in his original appeal, and there's good cause for not raising it. Johnson, proceeding pro se, argued that his lawyer was ineffective for not calling him, Johnson, as a witness, because Johnson would have been able to explain why this statement was not voluntary. Again, sort of beating around the bush of the issue that we have before the court today, and again, fairly inartfully presented, but that was the way Mr. Johnson presented it. Again, the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin summarily affirmed the denial of that motion, and the Supreme Court denied review, and that's when I came into the picture, and I filed this petition for habeas corpus in federal court. One of the issues which I think is more artfully drafted specifically alleges that Mr. Johnson's statement to the police was not voluntary because of the circumstances that I outlined at the outset of my argument. The state filed a response conceding that the state remedies had been exhausted, and so the magistrate made his ruling based on the record that was before the federal court. The magistrate did not address the specific issue that I think was finally clearly and artfully presented to the court. The magistrate basically reiterated the arguments that the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, or the rationale of the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and denied it on the grounds that this statement that Mr. Johnson made was sufficiently distinct from the polygraph examination, and therefore it was admissible. So in my brief before this court, I made the argument that this issue has never really been resolved by the lower courts, despite having been fairly presented. And so I think the Seventh Circuit can decide this issue without any real deference to what went on in the lower courts. And when you do that, I think there should be, it's clear to me at least, that this is a motion to suppress evidence which should have been granted. Mr. Johnson exhibited over the course of several days in four aggressive interrogations by police detectives that his will was to deny he was involved in the shooting that day. I think his will is clear. Something happened to overcome his will. And the record demonstrates fairly clearly what that something was. In reading the transcript, which is quoted in, I think, both of our briefs, you can almost feel the contempt, even in the cold record, so to speak, in the detective's voice when he taunts Mr. Johnson by saying, "You were so sure that you were going to pass that polygraph, weren't you, Mr. Johnson? And you're still here, aren't you?" That wasn't providing Mr. Johnson some additional information. That wasn't trying to persuade Mr. Johnson to finally tell the truth. It wasn't a way of offering him an opportunity to get this awful crime off of his chest. It was a taunt. It was a threat. It was intended by the detective to overcome Mr. Johnson's will, and it succeeded. And to say, as a matter of constitutional fact or constitutional law, that Mr. Johnson's statement under all of those conditions was freely and voluntarily made, in my opinion, makes the phrase "freely and voluntarily made" almost meaningless. If this is an acceptable interrogation technique, then what is unacceptable? So, for all of those reasons, I ask the court to find, as a matter of federal constitutional law under the Fifth Amendment, that Mr. Johnson's statement to the police that day was not voluntary.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mr. O'Brien.
May it please the court. Wisconsin Assistant Attorney General Daniel O'Brien appears on behalf of Warden Pollard. What I heard from counsel's remarks is that he admits the attorney who represented Mr. Johnson in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals relied on Wisconsin's rule regarding the use of statements made during or closely related to a polygraph, which has no connection to the Fifth Amendment. He claims that that's an inartful presentation of a Fifth Amendment challenge. I would suggest that the challenge presented here, the Fifth Amendment challenge, the argument that the officer told Mr. Johnson that he had flunked the polygraph and that there were too many interrogation sessions, was not a Fifth Amendment challenge that was fairly presented to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. Rather than rely on the protections afforded him by the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution, Jimmy Johnson chose to speak with police repeatedly. Rather than rely on the rights provided by Miranda v. Arizona, Jimmy Johnson chose to waive his right to remain silent, to waive his right to the presence of counsel during the interview, to not speak with police at all, or to stop any interviews when things started going badly. And on top of that, he consented and, in fact, asked to take a polygraph examination. In short, Jimmy Johnson, rather than relying on his constitutional protections, tried to outsmart and outlast the police. He failed. He got caught in his lies, and when confronted with the truth that he had flunked the polygraph exam, Jimmy Johnson confessed. There was no police coercion here. The polygraph examination was done properly, and the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, to the extent that it held that the confession was voluntary, did so in a manner that, in hindsight, was entirely consistent and a reasonable application of cases, United States Supreme Court cases such as Weyrich v. Fields, Oregon v. Bradshaw, not to mention Miranda v. Arizona, Colorado v. Connolly, Colorado v. Spring, and cases of that sort, as well as this court's decision in Barrera v. Young, which addressed the situation of a polygraph and talked about the Wisconsin law as opposed, vis-a-vis the Fifth Amendment. And it is quite clear, after one reviews those decisions, as well as the Barrera decision, that so long as the statement is voluntary and uncoerced, it doesn't matter whether it was obtained before, during, or after a polygraph examination. Unless there are any questions, I'll conclude my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Anything further, Mr. Jensen?
The only thing I would say is...
Would Mr. Jensen, please wait till you reach the podium.
All right. The only thing I would say, Judge, is that whether Mr. Johnson flunked the polygraph test or not is entirely beside the point, because the detective who told Mr. Johnson that had no knowledge of whether or not Mr. Johnson passed the test. Likewise, Mr. Johnson himself didn't know how he had performed on the test. So whether or not he did or didn't pass the polygraph test, I think is not relevant, and I don't think the court should consider that.
Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.